This is Radio Boston. I'm Meghna Chakrabarty.
Firing party, prepare to fire three volleys.
He was classified as missing for 66 years, but one soldier killed during World War II has finally been returned home to Massachusetts. WBUR's Steve Brown joins us now to talk about the return of Carver native Richard Loring. He was a corporal in the Army Air Corps. Steve, welcome to Radio Boston.
Hi, Meghna.
I understand you actually went to the burial service in Carver for Richard Loring.
I did. It was a very moving service in a small church where he had worshipped at one time. His family never really thought that they would ever have a chance to bring him home and bury him in his hometown. It was a funeral with full military honors. There was a flyover by a couple of F-15s. There was a nine-gun salute. There were taps. The whole nine yards as far as a military funeral is concerned.
Even though it was 66 years later. And that's one of the things that I just find so remarkable about this story. How was it that Loring's remains were discovered so long after the end of World War II?
Well, he was killed in a plane crash in Corsica. And the photos of the crash site, it's a huge boulder field, large crevices, a very remote area, the island of Corsica, which is off of the coast of France and Italy in the Mediterranean. And that site was so remote, and the initial investigation, some people went up there, this again, 1944, and there's a war going on, too, at that time. So, you know, not an easy place to get to. People would go up, and they saw wreckage, but say, oh, there's no survivors, we can't find anything. There was a big fire when the plane crashed and things like that. So it took quite a while. Then they would get reports. Somebody would go up. Some of the locals would go up and say, yeah, we found some bones, and some of them were put in the crevices. Some rumors came back that they took some remains, and they buried them somewhere else on the island. Those things could never be substantiated. In addition, over recent years, you have DNA testing and being able to use forensics and modern science to identify them. So about 5 years ago, a team went up, was able to recover the remains, and those remains were tested, and they were able to figure out who they belonged to.
And they were able to positively identify the remains as belonging to Corporal Loring.
That's correct.
Wow. Well, I understand you were actually there when Corporal Loring's family was briefed on the investigation by the Pentagon.
Yes, I was. The family allowed me to sit in on that briefing. Family, of course, was informed of the death years ago. You know, the knock on the door that no family wants to get. After that, there's a briefing, and usually after nowadays, if someone is killed, soon after they're given a briefing by the military, and they're told exactly what happened and how their loved one was killed. Obviously, because of this case in the long period of time, it was 66 years after the fact that the military came and explained to Corporal Loring's family how he was killed in that plane crash. And I was there to witness how Barbara Lowe and her siblings heard about the death of their great uncle.
Okay, well, let's listen to your report, Steve.
I know that Uncle Dick was a rear gunner, and he was shot down. And he was Mom's favorite uncle, and she talked about him all the time, and that's about all I know.
And that's all the family knew for decades. The young man who grew up in the town of Carver went off to war and never returned. He was killed before grandniece Barbara Lowe, her sisters, and brothers were born. Lowe's mother, Jean, went to her own grave, never knowing exactly what happened to her favorite uncle.
How are you today? Yeah. Michael. Nice to meet you.
In early April, Barbara Lowe and her brothers were visited by retired Air Force Major Michael Mee. Mee is an identification specialist with the Army's Casualty and Mortuary Affairs Operations Center. He brought with him details of the crash that killed their Uncle Dick.
I can't tell you again, it's an honor and privilege to bring this information to you because these guys were heroes. They were, these were America's sons and daughters who went overseas to deployed and went into harm's way, and some didn't come home.
And for more than 60 years, Richard Loring was one of those heroes who didn't come home. What Michael Mee told Barbara Lowe and her brothers was that their great uncle and four others were on board a B-25 Mitchell flying a routine supply mission from one side of Corsica to the other. Their Uncle Dick wasn't assigned to the crew. He may have just been hitching a ride, as fellow passenger Carolyn Chapin was. Chapin was a war correspondent for the American Red Cross. While family legend had it that Richard Loring's plane was shot down, Michael Mee told them soupy weather was to blame.
They actually hit the side of a mountain that was about 4,000 feet in elevation. And so there was a report, an eyewitness account of a local national on the ground who was farming that particular day, looked up, he heard the airplane overhead, saw it, he saw it fly into a cloud bank, and he heard an explosion, heard a crash. So
they hit the mountain.
So whether or not they misjudged the altitude, they had navigational error, not quite clear because there's no black boxes back then, so we really can't tell. But weather was a primary role in the crash.
The plane crashed amid huge boulders on a remote part of Mount Cagna on the island off the coast of France. The five on board probably died instantly as the plane was consumed by fire. A few days after the crash, local farmers, along with some Corsican gendarmes, made a trek to the crash site and discovered the twisted wreckage, but no human remains were found. It was years before the military had cause to reinvestigate.
Team goes up there and says, nothing survived that crash, no human remains. Then you come back later on and teams did find human remains. So there was conflicting stories through the years.
In 1988, locals alerted gendarmes about bone fragments they found, and the U.S. Embassy in Paris was notified. But for some unknown reason, the case sat until early 2005, when after four trips to the crash site, two French civilians reported back that they found more human remains. Armed with this new information, the Pentagon dispatched a team from the Joint POW-MIA Accounting Command, or JPAC, to search for the remains of the missing Americans.
I think if you ask everyone here at JPAC, they will tell you that it's rewarding on a whole new level, to be part of such an effort.
Major Ramon Osorio is the JPAC Public Affairs Officer based at Hickam Air Force Base in Hawaii.
Now, we have several skilled technicians ranging from scientific experts, military operation planners, civilians.
The JPAC team spent 5 days at the crash site. Team members scoured the crevices looking for bones and any other personal items that may have survived the crash. JPAC anthropologist Dr. Matthew Rode is familiar with the case.
The focus of JPAC is to recover remains. And be that as small as a small tooth crown or a small bone fragment, that is what we're trying to do. And the fact that they saw bone the first day would have been, hey, we're doing it, we're doing the job, we're getting this thing done.
The next job was to identify what they found. And like an episode of CSI, DNA samples were used to sort the remains for return to their next of kin. It's been more than 66 years since Richard Loring lived in his hometown of Carver. Here, traffic moves along Route 58 past a granite monument bearing the names of those from town who served in World Wars I and II. Richard Loring's name is etched on that monument with a star to indicate he died in the war. Nearly all of his contemporaries have since passed away.
We're not too sure how to feel about this.
Carver Town Administrator Richard LaFond.
On one hand, you know, you're glad you can be a part of history and honoring this person's service. On the other hand, you know, this is a resident of the town who was in many ways a distant memory.
The town of Carver brought out its 4th of July bunting for Corporal Loring's funeral. And after a memorial service at the United Parish Church where he once worshipped, the once-missing veteran was laid to rest in the family plot next to his mother, sister, and niece.
She'd be very happy. That's why, as soon as I knew, I said, he has to be buried next month. Mm-hmm. That's all. I know she'd be real happy.
And that's Barbara Lowe. She's the great-niece of Corporal Richard Loring, and her story was brought to us by WBUR's Steve Brown, who's still here with us. And Steve, what a truly amazing story. And it continues because I understand that two of the other people killed on that same flight also had ties to New England.
That's correct. Lieutenant Ray Fletcher was one of the crew. He was from Western Massachusetts. And fairly soon, his relatives will be getting one of those briefings as well from the military, and his funeral is expected to be held sometime this summer. Also, Carolyn Chapin, who I mentioned in the piece, she was a correspondent for the American Red Cross. And this was very interesting. The American Red Cross had correspondents out, basically bringing home stories of what was going on in the war, so people who would donate to the American Red Cross would know where their money was going. So Carolyn Chapin was from Connecticut. She was buried last September. And I found in researching this is an interesting tribute page online from the American Red Cross. And if you could go to that, and you can get to that through our website, WBUR.org, you can link to that. And you can read some of her stories that she had in the American Red Cross magazines back in 1944.
Huh, definitely worth checking out. WBUR's Steve Brown, thanks so much for bringing us that story. And when we come back...
He didn't want to deploy on a cruise. He wanted to go to battle in Afghanistan.
11 Massachusetts service members have been killed in Iraq and Afghanistan since last Memorial Day. We'll talk with one of their fathers. Stay with us. I'm Meghna Chakrabarty. This is Radio Boston.